So I just wanted to be able to show that video to give you an idea of where we're coming from and our life in the jungles of Peru. I don't think that... Thank you. What a fine young man. I don't want to talk any more about our ministry there in the jungles of Peru. If you want to know more, you could go to our blog, our website, the Tuttle Tribe. I forgot. The Tuttle Tribe at blogspot.com. If you want to know more, you could ask and talk with us afterwards. But anyway, we are excited to be able to eat lunch also afterwards with the Puerto Rican couple that's, I think, cooking, I think, some kind of yummy dish for us afterwards. So thank you for that. I'd like for you to open up your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I guess I was thinking of this passage a lot this week as Donald Trump was sworn in. And right here, we kind of have a change of power in Israel as it goes from Moses to Joshua. And Joshua is sworn in. This was inauguration day for the new president of Israel. And that's about all as far as the comparison goes between Donald Trump and Joshua. So I would like to read Joshua chapter 1, the whole chapter. So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along. I'm reading from the ESV, you know, the Living Bible. No, I'm just joking. It's a good version, though. Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I have promised to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great river, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Verse 10. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, "Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions. For within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in and take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh," Joshua said, "remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, 'The Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but all the men of valor among you shall pass over before you, before your brothers, and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has given to you, and they also shall take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving to them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it, the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise.' And they answered Joshua, 'All that you have commanded us, we will do. And whatever you send And whatever you send us, we will go. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to gather this morning. And Lord, we long to be brave, strong, courageous in the spiritual battle in which we find ourselves. Lord, this life is so short in comparison to eternity. Pray that you would help us to live lives that are honoring to you. Help us to pass the baton successfully to the next generation. So many dangers lie ahead. We pray that you would help us to make an effort to take risks for your kingdom, for your cause, making Christ's name great in this world. In a world that tries to tell us you have to be safe, don't take risks. We have insurance for almost everything. But God, just pray that you would encourage us this morning with this passage to take risks, to make Christ's name great, to fight your battles, to face the dangers of this generation, face them with you at her side. Thank you for this opportunity. I pray that you'd help me to say the words that you want me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I kind of started out saying, this was kind of like Joshua's graduation day. It was like an inauguration day, the swearing in of Joshua, and now he was going to take the nation of Israel and lead them into the promised land. Joshua, his name is actually Hoshea, as you all know, but and Hoshea means salvation. And Moses changes his name to Joshua, which actually means Jehovah, or Yahweh is salvation. So his name is changed there. And Joshua he's actually not too young at this point. He's lived in Egypt as probably a child and a young guy. And then he went through the 40 years of wilderness wanderings, and he saw all the incredible things that God did there in preserving Israel. And then now he's going to lead Israel into the promised land. And basically, I want to touch on a few points here. You see that a few points of danger. Think of it. Joshua and this nation, a new generation of Israelites, are about to go into the promised land. They're about to inherit the promises that God had talked to generations before, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then the generation that died in the wilderness and everything. But now they're about to go in and inherit the land, these promises of God. And they're facing a lot of dangers, actually. It's an exciting time. It's got to be an exciting time in Israel. There's probably all kinds of ideas of what should happen. Hope is bright for the future, and here Joshua is going to lead them in, but they're facing some major dangers here. The danger possibly of looking back, the danger of turning back, the danger of forgetting God's promises, the danger of not obeying God's word, and the danger of not helping one another or helping their brothers. And I want to kind of bring those out in this passage right here, as we see in several of these verses. It's almost like God here is talking, God himself is talking for most of this chapter to Joshua, and it's almost like he's heading off these ideas that Joshua might get in his head about these different dangers. I'm sure that the devil tried to plant ideas of fear in Joshua's head. And God here is sort of trying to encourage Joshua and giving him some ideas to combat those ideas of Satan. Look, you're facing danger. Yeah, there's a lot of risk involved here, but let me encourage you with these words. And so look at verses 1 and 2. Before I start right here, let me share something. I was kind of debating whether I should share this. We bought a van just about 3 weeks ago, and we're going to be in the States for about 9 months, and we're going to probably drive 30,000 miles all over the place, and the Lord's opened up a lot of doors to be able to share in assemblies across the country. And so we bought this van, and we bought it in New York. And right after we paid for it, and we had all of the bill of sale and everything, and we went in a rental car that CMML gave us. And so Amy, my wife, is driving the rental car, and she said, hey, let's go and eat somewhere. So we stopped in a restaurant. Well, she was following the Google Maps to take us to, what's the name of that restaurant, Amy? Chipotle. Oh, it was great. But anyway, so I'm following her in our new car, in our new van here. It's not new, it's old, but it works good. So I'm following her along, and Amy or the Google Maps take us into sort of a sketchy neighborhood. And we're in Queens, New York, and it's dark, it's night, and everyone in the streets are of another race. Which isn't a problem at all, but everybody kind of has kind of like the gang look. And there are actually guys in the street yelling to other guys across the street. And this kind of beat-up car passes filled with, it looked like to me, gangbangers. And they've got the rap going, and it's just the beat and everything. And I'm just, I'm not like really nervous, but I'm kind of a little bit, you know, just wary and aware of things. And then Amy pulls over to get the directions straight, and so I just pull over behind her, and as soon as I come to a stop, a black guy opens up the door to our van and jumps in the back. And I'm already, and we have great African-American friends, I'm not racist or anything, but just the context of everything that was happening, and then all of a sudden, this guy, he's got a bandana on and everything, he jumps in the back of our car. I did not lock the doors. I don't know what I was thinking. But this guy jumps into the car, and immediately, I am thinking, I've never been in a fight in my life. And I'm thinking, now is the time to fight. I'm kind of embarrassed about my reaction. I should have, like, evangelized the guy. I should have shared the gospel with him. But I'm thinking, fight now. We just bought this car, and no one is taking it from me. And so I throw it in the park, and I start yelling at the, get out of my car! Get out of my car! And I've got adrenaline and everything. I don't really know how to fight. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I guess I can probably give a good punch. I don't know exactly how you should dodge and everything like that. But so I'm getting ready. I get out of my seat. I go towards the back, and the guy is just, I mean, he's freaked out. He must have thought that I was his friend coming to pick him up in the van, that maybe it's the same kind of van or something, and he just casually got in. And I don't know what happened. But anyway, the guy is just, he's stunned. He doesn't know what to do. And I'm freaked out, and he ends up falling out of the van, and I slammed the door and locked the doors real quick, and everything was fine. But anyway, I use that illustration, that example, just this idea of fight now. This was the idea of Joshua and the Israelites. Fight now, rest later. You get into the promised land, and now is the time to fight. Now is the time for battle. Later, we can rest. Rest in the promised land. And I think it's a great picture of the Christian life. Right now, it's game time. This is the time to fight. Fight the Lord's battles, spiritual battles. Make Christ's name great wherever He's put us, whether it's the jungles of Peru or New York City or Kenilworth. Fight now. Now is the time to work. Rest later. And that's kind of the main point that I want to draw out here. As Joshua faces these different dangers, and God kind of tries to encourage him, you're going to face these dangers, but it's okay. Fight now, rest later. Verses 1 and 2. After the death of Moses, the servant to the Lord. The Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving them to the people of Israel. There was a real danger here, I think, for Joshua and probably all of Israel, but especially for Joshua as the new leader of the nation of Israel, this danger of looking back. He could have easily have thought, I'm going to replace Moses? I mean, Moses was the man. Moses, he did some serious miracles. Those are some big shoes to fill. Those are some big sandals to fill. He probably wore sandals. But I mean, Moses, he's the guy, he turned the water into blood. He made this God, through Moses, did all these miracles. Frogs all over Egypt. Gnats everywhere. Flies all over. All of the livestock of the Egyptians dead. He brought darkness over the land. Darkness so thick you could like feel it. After that, all the firstborn, the plague on the firstborn, all the firstborn dead. Moses, this guy, after he takes all of Israel out, you all know, he splits the Red Sea. This guy wasn't your normal pastor. Your normal missionary speaker. Moses, the guy actually, he met with God, and his meetings with God were so real. He met with God and talked to him face to face. He actually glowed after he talked with God. This is Moses. I mean, it would have been very easy, and probably the devil put into the mind of Joshua, you don't measure up. You, Joshua, whippersnapper, you're going to fill the shoes of Moses? You can't do that. You're just set up for failure. I love this statement by William Carey, the father of missions, so they call him, father of modern missions. But he said this, I'm not afraid of failure. No. I'm not afraid of failure. I'm afraid of succeeding at things that don't matter. That's a great statement. If you fail doing things that matter, trying your best to make Christ's name great in this world, fighting His battles, leading His people, if you fail at that and you've given it your best, I would say that failure is actually better than succeeding at things that don't matter. We just, like, oftentimes spend all of our time and energy and abilities and money on things that just don't matter. What are we doing with our lives? And this idea for Joshua, right now is game time. Fight now, rest later. The problem is so many Christians are resting now. It's not time to rest. Now is time to fight. The danger of looking back. Those are big shoes to fill. And God says to him, now therefore, arise. That is a great word, arise. Get up and prepare for battle. Let's go for it. You've got 80 years on this earth, maybe more, maybe less. Now is the time to fight. Now is the time to work. You can't look back. Fight now, rest later. So Joshua could have easily have looked back and just kind of said, I can't do it. I don't match up. I'm throwing in the towel. I'm going golfing. Then God continues to speak to him in verses 3 and 4. And here I see another danger. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given you. Just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. Joshua could have easily have thought, every place that the sole of my feet treads, the Hittites are in this land, the great sea to going down to the sun until the Euphrates River, that is a lot of territory. He could have thought, there's a lot of work to do here. This is a big job. Again,
I'm going back to the golf course. There's just a lot to do. Or he could have just thought about Hittites. Those are bad dudes. I mean, there's giants in this land. It's interesting to think, right now, Joshua, along with Caleb, and then all this new generation of Israelites, they're standing on the banks of the Jordan River. They haven't crossed it yet. They're getting ready to cross it. They're at the exact same position that Israel was in 40 years before when the 12 spies went in, and 10 of them were bad, 2 were good. The 2 good ones are still alive here, and they're going in. But they're at the exact same position. They could have easily have done the same thing that the 12 spies or the 10 spies did before and all the nation of Israel that followed after them. They could have easily have said, there's giants. This is scary. We are facing huge people. They're going to squash us like grapes. Let's just go spend the day on Facebook. Let's go play Pokemon. Do people play Pokemon here? That's like a huge thing in Peru right now. Anyway. Xbox. Well, let's just go down to the basement of my parents' house and play Xbox the whole day. Or just watch movies or something. It would be very, very, and it is today, very tempting. Let's take it easy. Let's be safe. This is dangerous to go and face the giants. And you think of the giants that we face today. The giant of the homosexual agenda. The giant of evolution. The giant of racism. The giant of a postmodern world. The giant of this idea that truth is relative. I mean, we face major giants today. The whole political situation has been mentioned this morning a few times. I mean, we face major giants as Christians, as the church, as assemblies. We face major giants. One of them is, how are we going to hand off the baton to the next generation? That's sort of what's happening here. Joshua takes the baton and the next generation with him, and they're facing major giants. They're facing a lot of dangers. It's risky. There are probably a whole group of Israelites here in this new generation that were kind of saying to Joshua and Caleb, you know, the desert isn't that bad. We've survived. Why don't we just continue wandering around out here? It gives us a good tan. We don't need to go into really the promised land. You get used to it. Even though you're wandering around, but it's 40 years. You get used to the mundane life. And you almost feel safe. But to get out of that safety or comfort zone and to do things, taking risks for our great God, facing the giants, fighting his battles, it's scary. John Piper says this about taking risks. Uh-oh, I lost it. Oh, I had something by John Piper on. Oh, here it is. A choice lies before you. Either waste your life or live with risk. Either sit on the sidelines or get in the battle. After all, life was no cakewalk for Jesus, and he didn't promise it would be any easier for his followers. That's incredible. John Piper writes a book, Risk is Right. Risk is Right. It's incredible. I used to be an electrician before we went to the mission field, before we went to Peru. And as an electrician, you've got to be real careful with OSHA rules. And the idea with OSHA is you got to be safe. And it's good, of course, it's important. We want to work safely and everything. But at a certain point, it's just like, man, I need to get the job done. All these rules. You got to be safe. And it's amazing in the United States, you come back. We just got back 3 weeks ago from Peru. And we live in the jungles of Peru. And I mean, a lot of times you do what works. And you don't worry so much about safety. Here, it's like America's preoccupied with safety. We got to be safe. And I understand, yeah, to a certain point, but as Christians, risk is right. And just like this statement that we just heard, John Piper, that Jesus, his life was full of risk. It wasn't that easy. And he doesn't promise an easy life to his followers. I mean, the health and wealth gospel preachers won't say that. He almost promises suffering to his followers. But get an eternal perspective. You're here for such a short amount of time in comparison to eternity. Fight the Lord's battles. Fight now, rest later. If you could just get an eternal perspective, and that is something that really transformed my life. I used to be a very afraid person. When I was growing up as a kid, I probably fainted about 10 times when I got up in front of people. I had to sing in the school choir or do a play or something like that. I would faint every time. I was scared to death. Until I was about 17 years old, I was afraid to go out of my backyard because I thought the neighbors might say something mean to me. I was very, very scared. And then I became a believer at about 18, 17 and a half in there. And it was like all of a sudden I realized eternity. I'm here for such a short amount of time in comparison to eternity. I mean, maybe I've got 80 years, I don't know. And you know what? If they kill me, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with my God, my Savior, Jesus Christ. And then also another part, another aspect of this, not being afraid and taking risk. If God is with me, who can be against me? I've got like this great warrior at my side. Whom shall I fear? An eternal perspective and also realizing God is with me. But sometimes the devil wants to plant these ideas. Giants, the Hittites are in the land. These people are scary. We're facing major giants today. But this idea, don't give up, be strong and of good courage. God says it to Joshua four times. Actually, God says it three times, and the Israelites say it once again at the end of the passage to Joshua. Be strong and of good courage. 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 Four times in this passage. I mean, I love the idea of biblical manhood. Where are the men? Being like macho for the Lord. For the world, the most macho, I don't know if you really say that in English. Do you say that? You understand me. The manly man, the macho is the guy that maybe can drink the most or has the most women or can control everyone else or he's the best fighter. Like I was going to take this guy on that came into our car. The guy that can control everyone else maybe. But really biblical manhood is the true man, a macho for God, isn't the guy that can control everyone else, it's the guy that can control himself. That's hard. Control yourself. You might be able to control everybody else, but control myself with my sin nature that's still there and the continual daily fight. You got to fight now. Now is the time to fight. Rest later. Fight now. Rest later. Another danger. Verses 5 to 6, I think you can see this idea right here. The danger of forgetting God's promises. And so God gives this, he gives some promises to Joshua right here. Like don't forget, there's promises. I promised you this. Look at this. Verses 5 and 6. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That's a promise right there. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. So there he says, no man's going to stand before you. I will be with you. You shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers. I mean, there's at least three promises there. If I'm reading correctly, there might be more that I'm just not understanding because I'm sort of medio bruto. But promises. It's as if God is reminding him, I've given you a lot of promises. Here I'll just mention a couple. But there's this danger of forgetting God's promises. And that is something that I think has happened to Christians all over the world today. We just kind of forget about his promises. And really, we should be all about God's promises. A lot of times it seems like we rely as Christians more on explanations than the promises. Explanations are good. Apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. I've taught apologetics before in our Bible Institute that started in Peru. But apologetics, it's important. It's good. We ought to have reasons why we believe what we believe and be able to defend the faith. Yeah, with good logical reasons, biblical reasons, extra-biblical reasons, it's good. Apologetics is good. But at the same time, at the end of the day, God hasn't given us all the answers. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to God. We don't have all the answers. At the end of the day, Christians don't base themselves on explanations. We base ourselves on God's promises. An illustration, I had knee surgery one time. I tore my ACL playing football. And later I got surgery, and the surgeon, after surgery, he explained to me everything that we did. We took a part of your tendon from your patella tendon, we took it and we did this, and he was using all kinds of medical terms, and this is what we did, and everything like that. And I didn't understand almost anything of what he said, an explanation. But then he said, in about a month and a half, you'll be able to walk without crutches. That's a promise. I can live by, in a month and a half I'll be able to walk? Give it to me. That's a promise. Yeah, explanations are good. They're nice. Maybe I can understand some of it. But in the end, I just want to know when I'm going to walk again. I need a promise. We live on promises. God gave Joshua promises to stand on. I guess another idea, talking about apologetics and explanations and things like that. The ongoing debate, obviously, between Calvinists and Arminians. Predestination or man's free will? Which one is it? Does man really choose, or does God just predestine and we're like living on this cosmic chessboard that God is using? Or does man actually have real choices and he actually chooses where he spends eternity? Or predestination, what's the answer? I would say both. God's sovereign. And he has predestined, and he has elect. Read Ephesians chapter 1. But then at the same time, the whole Bible, you've got a choice to make. Man's responsibility. They're both true. How does that work? I don't know. You come to a predestination passage, you preach it. You come to a man's responsibility passage, you preach it. I think you got to maintain these, and there's a lot of doctrines in the Bible. You just got to maintain them in tension. I don't know. A lot of times, we stand on his promises. We try to explain, yeah, but we don't live on those explanations. We live on the promises. Another point here, and you see it, I should actually say right here. It's interesting, in the Old Testament, you see basically three geographic regions. Egypt, the wilderness, and the promised land. And it's really a big picture of the Christian experience. We once were slaves to sin. Christ has brought us out of the land of slavery in Egypt, slavery to sin. And it's really a quite quick journey to the promised land. We weren't meant to like wander around the desert our whole lives. But this desert for Israel turned into 40 years. And a lot of Christians just kind of wander around in a spiritual wasteland, never getting a hold of the promises and inheritance, great inheritance we have in Christ. The promised land, getting across the Jordan, abundant life in Christ. So many promises and blessings that we have in Christ, and we just aren't grabbing a hold, appropriating them. Those are mine. Give them to me. Going into the promised land, taking a hold of the great blessings that God has given to us, the blessings and inheritance that we have in Christ. Sadly, so many Christians wandering in the desert for their entire lives. As a preacher, a missionary, elder in our assembly that we started, I have the responsibility of trying to lead the flock, people that have put or people that the Lord has put under my care, I guess, Part of my responsibility is to lead them into the promised land, to get a hold of some of those promises. You as a father of a family, men, part of your job, your responsibility as a dad, as a husband, lead your family into getting a hold of those promises. Just as Joshua was supposed to lead Israel in to get a hold of those promises in the promised land. Leaders in the church here, elders, mature Christians, lead less mature Christians into getting a hold. That's your job, part of your job. Leading others to get a hold of the promises and the inheritance that they have in Christ. This idea then, of fight now, but rest later. Promises are the basis for courage. It seems like God is talking to Joshua here. Listen, there's going to be this danger of looking back and also of just going back, throwing in the towel. Listen, there's giants in the land. But right now, your job, Joshua, as the leader here, is to lead God's people into getting a hold of their inheritance in the promised land. Right now is time to fight. Fight now, rest later. Fight now, rest later. Verses 7 and 8. Another danger that it seems that God kind of is warning Joshua about. Verses 7 and 8. Only be strong and very courageous, careful to do all that the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. The idea here, I think, is there's a danger of not obeying God's word. They're going to go into the promised land. There's going to be all kinds of Canaanite influence that they could easily be sucked in by. That's why they're supposed to annihilate everyone and everything. There's a danger here that you could drift from God's word. And so here God is telling them, you got to be strong, very courageous. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You got to be quoting it. You got to be memorizing it, meditating on it, reading it, listening to it. If I can remember, I saw once the idea of how to get a hold of God's word, and it had this hand grabbing onto a Bible, and basically 5 points to grab a hold of God's word. Listen to it. Read it. Memorize it, meditate on it, and do it. Those 5 points, kind of the idea of a hand and grabbing a hold of God's word. Do those 5 things. Get a hold of God's word. Don't drift from it. Saturate yourself in Scripture. The danger of not obeying God's word. And it's interesting here that it comes out big time. If you want to have good success, if you want to be prosperous, I mean, those terms are here. You just got to saturate yourself with the Bible. And again, I'm very much against the idea of the health and wealth and prosperity gospel. But it's very interesting. We're on this dangerous edge of there is prosperity for those that follow Christ and stick to His Word. Now, prosperity might not look like what you want it to look like. There's definitely spiritual prosperity. In the big picture of things, God will bless you if you stick to His Word and you do it. You meditate on it. You read it. You listen to it. And then in the end, you got to do it. Live by it. Saturate yourself with God's Word. This is an exhortation to meditation. Meditation on God's Word. The key to success is knowing God's Word and obeying it. And they were going to need this when they go about fighting now so that they can rest later. You've got to hang on to God's Word. Got to hang on to God's word. I wrote in the back on a blank page here. The blank pages in your Bible are so that you write quotes in when you find good quotes. This is the quote that is found at the beginning, the first page of the Gideon's Bible. And it's kind of a great resumen. I don't know how to say that in English. Wrap up. I don't know. You know what I mean. Of what the Bible, what is it? Summary, there. Oh, that's the word. You're so good. You must be a Spanish speaker. Okay. It's a summary of what the Bible is all about. Listen to this. It says this. This book, the Bible, is the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, the Christian's charter. Here paradise is restored, heaven is opened, and the gates of hell are disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our God, our good, its design, and the glory of God, its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts, and it will lead you to Calvary, to the empty tomb, to a resurrected life in Christ. Yes, to glory itself for eternity. The Bible. The Bible. Saturate yourself with the Bible. Grab a hold of it. Meditate on it. Read it. Listen to it. Hear it. Do it. You're going to need this in the battle. Because right now, in this life, where we are right now, it's time to fight. Fight now. Rest later. Another thing that I want to bring out here, probably over time. I just get carried away. I have no idea. I just keep on going and going. Just one more point. I'm sorry. The danger of not helping your brothers. Look at this. This is incredible. Let's just skip down. I'm skipping all kinds of points here to go for this. Verses 12 and 15. And the Reubenites, the Gad, and to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you, and they also shall take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving to them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and you shall possess it, and the land that Moses the servant of the Lord gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. Listen to what God is telling, or Joshua is telling the Reubenites, Gadites, half-tribe of Manasseh. You remember the story as they're getting, they're not done with their 40 years yet, and they're coming to the end of it, but they destroy Sihon, king of Heshbon, Og, king of Bashan. And all of their land is on the east side of the Jordan, but right up to the border of the Jordan. And these three tribes, the Reubenites, Gadites, half-tribe of Manasseh, they look at it and they're like, man, this is great for livestock. This is good grazing land right here. I mean, this would be great for our cattle business. Could we take this side of the Jordan? Now, there's all this big debate to theologians about if this was good or bad what they did. And I don't know. It's kind of cool that they want God expand the promised land. We want more. God, I think, appreciates that. But it is interesting that these tribes seem to be the first tribes to fall away later on. Because they had that river that separated. But anyway, right here, what I want to emphasize is Joshua's telling them, you guys got to remember, don't go thinking that you can just sit down and play on Facebook or play Pokemon or play golf or whatever you guys are planning on doing there on the nice pasture lands, the east side of the Jordan. Don't go thinking that the job's done. No, you got to help your brothers. Everyone else in Israel, the other tribes, the 9.5 tribes, they've got to go in and conquer the land. You got to help them. All the men of valor got to go in and help their brothers get their possession, get their inheritance. I mean, look at the picture right there. You got to help your brothers inherit the promises that God has given to them. You got to help your brothers. This is a major lesson in our churches. We got to help each other, support each other, encourage each other. Oftentimes we're just critical of each other. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if there's a problem, criticism in the church here, and nobody told me anything. But help your brothers. What a lesson. Helping your brothers right now is the time to fight. Later, you can come back and rest. Fight now, rest later. Battles to fight, a war to rage, don't wage. Don't abandon your brothers. One time at our house in Peru, had a leaders meeting, different leaders in the church. There's about 40 leaders, and had them all over to our house. We had a fire, bonfire going. And as everyone came in, I gave each one a palo, a stick. Stick just sounds small. It's a little bit bigger, you know, log. But log sounds big. I don't know. It's kind of in between stick and log. I gave each person a stick, and they put it on the fire when they came in. By the time everybody's in, sitting around the fire, I mean, the fire is big fire. I put my stick on also, and then as we're talking, we're sitting there, I took my stick out, and I put it aside. What do you think happened to my stick? Went out. What do you think happened to the fire? Kept going, of course. You couldn't really tell a difference, but you know, something was missing. You take all of them away, each one by itself is going to die, and the fire is going to die, is dead. The spark. Help each other. Everybody's putting on their own piece of leña, their own log. We spark each other. We fire each other up. Encourage each other. Fight for each other. Work for each other. You got to help your brothers. Don't abandon your brothers. Fight now, rest later. One more illustration. I got this page in my Bible here that I don't like very much. So I think I'm going to rip that page out of my Bible. What do you think? Does that change my Bible a little bit? But I mean, you close my Bible, it looks the same. Maybe you can't really tell until you start reading, and you come along and, whoa, hey, something's missing here. Skip something. I don't understand. You can't just rip yourself out of the congregation, of the body of Christ. Oftentimes, brothers and sisters, not willing to go into the fight with their fellow brothers and sisters. They're just taking a break, while others are fighting now. Don't rip yourself out. What you do affects the whole body. Fight now, rest later. So Joshua and Israel, they're facing all kinds of dangers. Really, I just kind of tried to touch on a couple of them here. But they're facing all kinds of dangers. And God, I think, is trying to encourage Joshua and the Israelite nation at this time. You're going into the promised land. You're going to face all kinds of dangers. But that's okay, because risk is right. That's the way this world is. And ever since the fall, that's the way that God wants it to be for us. Take risks for our great God. Where are the men and women that are willing to take risks for our great God? There's a danger of looking back. I don't measure up to the giants that God used in the past. There's a danger also of turning back. There's giants in the land. It's going to be scary. It'd be a lot easier just to stay in the wilderness. There's also the danger of not obeying God's word. There's a danger of not helping your brothers. So hopefully, this could be an encouragement to all of us this morning. Fight now, rest later. Facing all kinds of dangers in our culture, in our society, in our world today as Christians. What are we going to do as believers? like Joshua, like a new generation of Israelites, going in to take hold of the inheritance. Got to go in, taking risks, because risk is right. Right now, while you have life, it's game time. Fight now, rest later. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for life. Even though we live in a fallen, twisted, sinful, wrong world, you've given us years, months, days, hours, minutes. Help us to not waste a single one of those minutes. Help us to take risks for your great cause, to make your name great among the nations, whether people repent and respond to the gospel or not. Help us, Lord, to fight now, knowing that we can rest for all of eternity. Help us to not get caught up with looking back or turning back or forgetting your promises. Help us to not forget our brothers. Oh God, pray that you'd encourage us this morning. Help us to think on these things as we face the giants of our world. Oh God, help us to fight now. Look forward to resting with you for all of eternity. Put our lives into your hands, asking that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we might live victoriously. Ask that you'd bless us, that you'd help us. Help us to go out valiantly, knowing that we have like a dread champion at our side. That's you. We trust in you. Stand on your promises. Make us bold. Make us courageous. Make us strong. In Jesus' name. Amen.